Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Lisa Mullins. We're going to talk now about preparing for disaster. That is the role of the Federal Emergency Management Agency, which hasn't always risen to the occasion.
Think back to the botched federal response to Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. And then President George W. Bush's infamous phrase, "Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job." But FEMA has gone through big changes since then. There's different leadership and an effort to work more closely with local agencies closer to events on the ground.
For the last 4 years, Rich Serino has been second in command at FEMA. But now a change of guard at the top of the federal agency means a local boy is coming home.
Serino was a big part of that change. Before going to FEMA, he worked at Boston Emergency Medical Services for 36 years, working his way up from EMT to the chief of EMS. And he joins us now to talk about FEMA, emergency preparedness, and what he's seen and learned about it all over the years. And Rich Serino, welcome to the program and welcome back home. Good to have you.
It's great to be home. It really is great to be back in Boston.
You went to FEMA with years of on-the-ground training at Boston Emergency Medical Services. Why is it important to have that kind of on-the-ground training at the top of FEMA?
Well, I think one thing that's important is to realize that it's all about the survivors. Years ago, we used to call people victims of accidents, victims of tornadoes, victims of hurricanes. So one of the first things is change the language right away, is to look at how we can call people survivors. Because if you call somebody a victim versus a survivor, it has a very dramatic impact in how people look at themselves.
Interesting. And how does it change the way preparedness and disaster response officials do their work?
What we've done now, especially in the last couple of years, is become survivor-centric to make it easy for the survivor to receive services from FEMA, to receive services from the state, the local. Also looked at FEMA as really being there to support the states, support the governors, support the cities. FEMA is never in charge. When you bring everybody on the same page, that's a tremendous team. But now you add to it the private sector and how you bring them to the table during disaster and literally give them a seat at the table, which they didn't have before.
Let me ask you about FEMA's response to Hurricane Katrina in 2005, which was before your time. The agency faced a lot of criticism. I remember covering part of that story in New Orleans, and I recall there was a real sense that FEMA simply didn't really know what was going on, at least in the early days on the ground. What went wrong, in your view?
We've actually looked at how FEMA was able to go big, go early, go fast, but be smart, is go and respond early to that, and rather than waiting for people to ask for assistance.
So is that what happened in Katrina? They just didn't get there soon enough?
People, you know, didn't have a lot of relationships ahead of time, and we spent a lot of time really developing the relationships throughout the country. Something that I've said for now over 15 years is you don't want to be exchanging business cards at the scene of a disaster.
I see. So when you started at FEMA, what was one of the first things you saw that needed changing, that you just wanted to change right away?
One of the things is really to help the culture within FEMA. And really wanted to have people, as I called it, proud to wear the FEMA shirt. Initially, people weren't. In realizing that probably the most important part of the team is the public, making them really part of the team, making them a key part of how we're able to respond to disasters.
So during your tenure, you helped the agency respond to a whole bunch of disasters, including the tornadoes in Joplin, Missouri. As Americans, we all saw those incredible TV images of the sheer destruction that those caused. Tell me the story about the aftermath.
I was actually in Joplin hours after it struck. Arrived there, and the weather was still tornado warnings. We were still heavy rains. And there was a seven-mile swath of complete devastation, complete destruction, three-quarters of a mile wide. I went back on the first anniversary and then went back on the second anniversary and then was back just last week. And what was amazing is that they had out of the, 8,000 homes that were destroyed, they have building permits pulled on over 80% of those are built or building permits. So Joplin is rebuilding. And Joplin, I think, is a great example of how a resilient community can actually help rebuild in really what was a really tough time.
And did you feel when you went out there on those anniversaries that there was a sense of, you're the representative of FEMA, of the federal response, that they were happy to see you, that there was some gratitude toward what FEMA did?
Very much so. In fact, when they heard I was leaving, they had me come out and cut the ribbon to the school, new school. They gave me a proclamation to the city. The fire department gave me a medal. Oh. And it really became home. In fact, one of the citizens who held it up, one of the housing areas, you know, we went to her house for dinner the other night. So
that must have been one of the more gratifying moments in your in your career as the number two at FEMA.
It really was, yeah. Because we had a connection with the people at sure. some of their worst moments and stayed with them for a while and then hit back many times. It's actually one of the best moments that I've had.
Well, let me ask you about a sort of dark moment here in Boston, the Boston Marathon bombings last April. I understand that you left about 15 minutes before the bombs went off. And I'm curious, as a local guy, what was that experience like for you, being in your hometown at an event that you had supervised as an EMS official many times before? What was that like? What was that day like?
Very difficult. In having, you know, been involved in the marathon for 30-plus years, incident commander for many years, having written a lot of the response plans, I was so proud of how people responded. You know, Boston Strong was no accident. It was the years of planning, the years of preparation. Those have been drilled many times over. You know, the EMTs and the medics, the firefighters, police officers did unbelievable job that day. And the fact that, unfortunately, the three people that died at the scene died right away, and everybody else who left the scene alive is still alive. And that's just a testament to the amazing work that people did in the city that day.
That is the most extraordinary fact about that. Rich, I just want to ask you, if I can, just a little bit about what it's been like for you to do this job on a personal level. You live in Abington. You have a wife, three children, and for 4 years, you pretty much commuted to Washington, right? Monday to Friday. Add to that occasional travel
for occasional,
and I'm being sarcastic, a lot of travel, responding to the various emergencies from American Samoa to Joplin, Missouri. What was that like, holding that all together?
Actually, it was fascinating. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah.
It was fascinating. It was very satisfying to know that you actually made a difference in a lot of what you're able to do.
During those years, do you have any idea how many miles you traveled?
I really don't. I know that I was over 60 disaster trips, another 120 trips around the country for various disasters or meetings in the regions and things like that. So an awful lot.
So you're back home now. What's next?
What's next is I'm going to take a deep breath.
Yeah, well-deserved.
But one of the things that was very interesting the last couple of years is did a lot with working on innovation and innovation in the disaster space and how we can take that to the next level and how it can bring together sort of the best of the best in order to respond to disasters, the private sector, technology, but also the arts, bring together a whole different group of people to innovate in the disaster space.
Let me go back to FEMA. What about continued improvement? What else has to change?
I think as we move forward, looking at technology and how technology is actually going to change the way that not just FEMA, but I think a lot of people are going to respond to disasters and really get a better sense of what's going on at the scene, utilizing a lot of social media, and then bring what people need to that as well.
Mm. That's Rich Cirino. He's the former deputy administrator of the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Born in Dorchester, lives in Abington. Rich Cirino, welcome home. Thanks for talking to us.
Great. Thank you. It's been great.
And a quick recap of the day's top story that we've been following this hour. Attorney General Eric Holder announced this afternoon that federal prosecutors will seek the death penalty against accused Boston Marathon bomber Jahar Tsarnaev. We'll have a lot more on this story coming up at the top of the hour on All Things Considered.